Hi, this is Pam Taggart with the Nebraska Department of Education, and this is the District Data Collection Group. Is anybody out there?
Hi, Pam. Kathy, this is Michelle Hensley from Boys Town.
Okay.
Barb Boyd from Kearney Public.
Oh, yeah,
nope.
Barb.
I'm Teresa Osborne from Cozad Community Schools.
Bill Pulte, Papillion-La Vista.
Kathy Reese, Hastings Public.
Tammy and Carol Jean from Millard.
Okay.
Sophie from Lincoln Public Schools.
Well, great. We have a good turnout today. Sorry for the last-minute notice, but we had a few things that we thought were important to discuss before the data conference and putting out our instructions for the 2013-14 school year. Did everybody get the agenda? And the this morning, I think Victoria sent out some data element definitions. Proposed
yep.
ones.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Great. Great. All right. So our first discussion is about the grade. Our trainers came back and provided us some information, and also we've been discussing about the usefulness of the alpha grade and in the context of our dashboards and some other things. So one of our proposals is that maybe we not collect the alpha grade and add a numeric grade that would be in a percent, you know, like 1 to, or probably 0 to 100, and then adding a pass-fail field. These are fields that are currently available in the student grades template, but we aren't using them. And so, I mean, this is just a proposal, and we're open to discussing any of those items. So I've heard a little bit from Lincoln and from Kearney about their situations. So I was wanting to see what the other districts call, what they felt about those options.
I guess my question, this is Anna at ESC3, is what's the reasoning to collect it? Just for these dashboards that people want to use? Or is there a state or federal reporting requirement that the percentage would be a better thing to have?
The grade is required under our, when we took the
money
for
yeah.
the SFSF. So we do have to, it's courses completed and grades earned, and then the connection to a teacher. So we do need to collect a grade, but we were wondering if whether the numeric grade might be easier than the alpha grade, because we heard some districts were having to go through some gyrations to get an alpha grade.
I think for my district, I think it would be more of a gyration to pull the percentage, because if we're talking grades 9 through 12, because they don't put that on report cards unless the teacher adds it in the comments. They, you know, the mark is what translates to the transcript and which is used for GPA. And doing the percentage means, you know, because right now if our teachers, like their grade book's not quite calculating right, but they can calculate by hand and get it, and they're in a rush, they'll just set the mark to what it should be, like an A instead of a B, and they don't necessarily fix that percentage that we store to look right. So it's going to be another field for us to verify and check all the time.
And okay. Millard, this is Carol Jean from Millard, and I kind of agree with Anna. The alpha grade that we currently submit requires a lot less manipulation than the numeric grade would.
Okay.
This is
Beth
from Lexington. I agree with them also. I think the alpha grade is much easier.
Pam, this is Jill from Ashland, and I agree with the comments also, although if there's ever going to come a time when the purpose of collecting this is for comparison, then certainly the percentage grades would be better than the alpha grade.
This is Kathy from Hastings Public. We do collect both alpha and numeric grades. It would just be a vendor, you know, rewriting the report for us. We would have we would have both available.
This is Christy Hayes from Ponca, and we have both available as well. My concern is some different school districts have different grade scales, like an A is a 93 and above for us. Some have theirs set at 90. Mm-hmm. And so when you're trying to compare, if they do get to where they're comparing school districts, you're going to have some schools showing an A at a 90 and other schools not showing an A till 93.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree, too.
Yeah.
Good comment on that one. I agree.
This is Teresa from COSAD. We have both available, and I think it's going to be a matter of no matter if it's an alpha or a numeric, you're going to have different schools with those scores meaning different things based on grade scales, because an A is not always an A, and a 93 is not always the same in other districts. So I don't think changing it is going to make it more comparable.
Okay.
Well, not the fact that a course that this district filed under this state code and another district did too doesn't lead you to believe that you can compare what those gave those kids those grades, because it's not necessarily the exact same course. So.
Right, and the curriculum rigor could be significantly different.
Right. Lincoln and Carney, you can chip in here now, because
no.
They think they're going to probably be right along with you there.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had sent, was that alpha grade is much easier for us as we have our data right now. And I agree with the comments of if it's for comparison, that's a dangerous slippery slope, because then you really look into, like people are pointing out, grade scale differences and everything else.
Lincoln had submitted a bit before, but we don't store the numeric grade at all in our permanent storage. So we would actually have to be taking the letter grade and manipulating it and just selecting a number. So we would really be really almost creating the data to report it this way, which is a very dangerous thing to be doing.
Okay.
Yes. So these are like two additional fields on the template you're going to use?
Well, not necessarily. This is just out there for discussion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thought I had is I know there's a group working on the ability for districts to run their own dashboards and do some analysis of their own data. And so maybe if we're trying to help them do that with percentage, let them have percentage data to be available to do that, then we could, I don't know if that was the thought to solving this problem, but maybe the thought is you make those fields optional, and then those districts who want to do that could upload that data and use it for those purposes. I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah, it's a good thought. Ultimately, the dashboard piece, as it's being developed and as we conceive it, is really kind of an interface between the local student information system, where the data is pulled from the district system or the school building system, and then also data from the state NSSRS record system populates that dashboard. So it serves as this local-based interface between all of the sources of data. And so, essentially, the grades from the state would not really be used to populate the dashboard. I mean, that would still be real-time information coming from the local district. What we were sort of going down the road with this proposal is really from the trainers that have been working with districts around the state, indicating that it was an additional step to convert their percentages to a letter grade. And then because they didn't have that kind of methodology. And so this was an effort to maybe create a more simple approach to the process. But it sounds to us that it's not simpler.
So at least...
And being this is Rachel, I think that was true a couple of years ago, but the vendors that were going to make the changes have made the changes since then.
Great. Greetings, Rachel.
Well,
thank you so much for your input on that. At this point, it looks like we'll probably stick with AlphaGrade for 13-14, and so there will be no change, at least I don't think there will be, for 13-14. So we're going to go to our second item, and just to let you know, I have Kathy Heskett, Jenny Carter, Jill Aron, Dean Bulkers, and Pam Taggart here at NDE. So I forgot to introduce them when we started off here. But the other issue that we're having with student grades is determining a class. And one of the issues we brought, I think I brought this up last time at our last meeting, is the section code, I think, has been a problem because we didn't have enough options in the semester code, so people were having to create a section code so that they could avoid duplicates. And so we've put a proposal in to add some additional section or semester codes, and we're wondering whether, if we would do that, if we could use the SIS-generated section code that would keep the class together, like whatever code the vendor software uses to pull together a class roster. And so I'd like your input on that.
I got stuff to do, but I can't get over the fact that I know how it
works. Are you guys there?
Yeah, this is Anna. And I'm looking at the definitions here. What would you report like a trimester course under? Like a 12-week course that crosses quarters? Which happens a lot in the middle schools, which can happen.
Well, you could put it in maybe the quarter that it starts in.
Well, my question on that, though, is we give them their grade, their final grade comes in the quarter they end in. And I saw you had in here, when does it begin?
Uh-huh.
So, like, I'll have a course that'll end part 3 weeks in the second quarter, and then I'll have another course that ends 6 weeks in the third, and then the last one ends at the end of the year. So, we could use Q1, 2, 3, and 4, but I think you'd have to explain how that looks. Or did you have new codes? I don't know.
This is Carney, and I read written Pam about, we also have at the middle school 6 week rotations. What we do is we report them on the quarters now, but we do it in, like what you're saying, at the time that we post the grade. That's the quarter we are associating them with now. So I guess, yeah, if they would just change it to where you post the grade, because that's where the grade's going to be stored, is at the end.
And this is Carol Jean from Millard, and we also have the 6 extra courses in the middle schools, as well as some trimester courses at the high school, at one of our high schools.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, would this field be a required field?
Could
we just stick to our section code?
0 would not be allowable, and you know, because we're trying to get a valid section code. And I think that the reason 0 was even included in the previous options was because it was determined that maybe that was not necessary. But we found that maybe it is necessary because we want to make that section code to mean something in holding the class together, and we do not want it related to a time frame. So we don't want T1, T2, T3, T4 in the section code. We want that in the semester code, and we want to have a section code that is usable to pull the class together.
And Pam,
would it be possible?
What was that?
Would it be possible?
Go ahead.
Sorry. Would it be possible to add codes to it, like H1 through 6 and T1 to 3? Representative of hexters and trimesters?
Yes. I mean, that's a possibility, definitely.
This is Barb from Kearney. The Power School, the section code is unique, and that's what holds a class together as a class. So it doesn't matter what time definition that section meets. The section code itself describes a class. The problem, though, with PowerSchool is if my class meets for longer than a semester or a year, that I will have multiple grade records because I would have a stored grade for each quarter. We store grades each quarter regardless of how long the class goes. So I might have multiple grade records. That's the only issue that we have.
Okay, and that would be okay in this scenario because if you had the same section code, but you had S1 and S2 and the same section code, we know that was a year-long course.
Exactly. And so for the PowerSchool people, this proposal would work great, much better than what is happening now.
Those were H1 through 6. Heck what? Is there any other discussion on this? I mean, do you think this would be doable for 13-14?
Well, Lincoln would like to talk a little bit about this. We have absolutely no way of connecting our math courses. For example, if a student takes a semester one class and a semester two of a math class, they're considered two completely different courses. They have two completely different sections. They might even meet different periods between semester one and semester two, and we really have absolutely no way of connecting them. We also have different examples where on our traditional schools, their math courses, for example, are semester courses, but at Southwest High School, we have a quarter-type system in place, and they're actually quarter-length classes. You know, so you might, example, have a student that takes it in quarter one and might complete it in quarter four. I mean, it's a different system. We also have another set of courses that actually go over a two-year period where it's actually four different semester piece classes that it takes to complete the math. And they might have an interaction of some of each of those. If they were in the traditional semester class and it wasn't working for them, we might split them out into the four-semester type of a math class. So they might start in one way and end in another way. I guess we don't really connect them as a year-long completion type of a course.
Well, do you connect them with a class number, a unique class number in any way? Because that's all you would need.
No, we don't connect them at all.
So each class, I mean, there's no unique way to specify a class, to say this is this exact class. There's like no number or database.
I mean, like Algebra 1? Like Algebra 1 might be another course number, but
not course. We're talking specific class of Algebra 1. So let's say Mrs. Smith's Algebra 1 for
mm-hmm.
Period 1. Do you have any way to describe that? Do you have like an internal?
Yeah, it's a course and a section.
Okay, that's all you need. That would be your identifying piece that they're calling section ID.
Right, but if course number is 1 and the section number is 1 in semester 1, it's not course one, section one in semester two. They don't match. The section number will change in the second semester as well.
Doesn't need to be because they're taking it separately, so it doesn't need to be. It's not related.
What you just said was that you would report the exact same section number for both classes, and just the semester code for the course would change so that you could connect the two courses.
I don't think that's what they meant, because I think what they're saying is they want a way to describe each individual class. And from what you've described, they're different classes, so they would have a different identifying number.
Well, and one of the things, part of this discussion is related to potentially using data for instructional units, which we have backed off now to 14-15. We might, we have a course template that we could use to maybe put the value for the, like, say, for example, Algebra 1 in as a year-long course, even though you report it in two semesters. So then you would have the offering for a year-long algebra class, but when we looked at it, we could see, you know, that it took the students two semesters of Algebra 1 in order to get the credit or whatever. that might simplify things. Would that work for you, Chris? If we have
Don't have them set up as year-long courses at all.
Would your curriculum folks be able to, you know, like, for example, you sent me to somebody who said, yes, Algebra 1's content is year-long. Could
right.
they do the courses that you offer and give them that type of value? Or how big a deal would that be?
If we completely restructured the entire way that the system is set up, we couldn't do it in the rear. You'd have to let us know at least 9 months before the school year, and it would have to go through a lot of committees before they'd allow a major change like that.
Okay. Well, if there was just a place to say English gets a two-semester English class, doesn't matter when the semesters happen, even if it's over 2 years, is worth 10 hours. At the time that you store grades, do you give students earned credit?
Right, but each semester is completely separate. They never earn the 10 hours as a whole. They earn the two halves separately, the five
credits.
That's
okay. That's okay, because what you're saying, what Pam is saying, if there was another template called courses that said an English 1 class is worth 10 hours, then it doesn't matter at what point or what halves the student earns it. It's a 10-hour course. Does that make sense?
I couldn't report it that way. I could not report that template. That's what I'm saying.
So you don't have any course detail that says this course is a 10-hour course and this course is a 5-hour course.
They're only 5-hour courses. We don't connect them. They are completely
okay.
separate. We don't.
Okay.
Even though the math curriculum is saying that it's a 10-credit course, in reality, they're 2 5-credit courses and they are not connected.
But that's okay. It doesn't matter. The student takes the course twice, and they still get 10 hours.
I think you're saying, Bethany, you give them 2 different course numbers, don't you?
Yeah.
They can be, yes. They can be they can be 2 different course numbers, and they'll definitely be 2 different section numbers.
Well, and
okay.
I think from what I could tell, at least if we implement the semester code with some additional options, it would work for everyone. What we're still wrestling with, which is not really the topic for the day today, but is the instructional units that we'll still continue to talk about for hopeful implementation in 14-15. So that'll probably be some of our discussion for future district data collection group options. But it sounds to me like everybody could do this. The adding additional semester codes and maybe help us to get better data in terms of classes. Does anybody else have any scenarios that we should consider? Like if we would add maybe H1 through H6 or T1 through T3?
I think that would cover what everybody's mentioned, trimester, hex, and...
Who's the people who want to help me with define H1 through H6? I can call you or email you.
That'd be fine. Pam, we have it at the middle schools. I think, didn't Omaha say you had that as well for your middle school?
Millard.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'll bounce some ideas off of you guys. And Anna, you're the one I need to contact for T1 through T3?
Sure.
We have that as well. We have hexters and we have trimesters.
Okay.
And Millard.
Okay.
You're aware of the footprints then too.
Okay.
Footprints on the floors.
Is there any other discussion related to student grades and these two topics? Well, we really do appreciate your input, and we, you know, don't want to take any more of your time than we need to. If you do have any concerns or that were not brought up today, or you think of them afterwards, if you would send me an email, I would appreciate it so that I can include. I really do appreciate Lincoln and Carney gave me some scenarios, and that was really helpful to learn more about how their systems work. So that I could make sure that they are included in future discussions, especially related to the course template coming up. I don't know that we'll have another meeting before. We won't have one before the data conference, and I think we're going to postpone it to the next week after that. But we want to have this will probably show up. The semester changes will probably show up in our What's New presentation at the data conference.
Okay.
So we look forward to seeing most of you there. I hope all of you. And, again, if you have any questions or concerns, please email me. I did record this conversation. I forgot last week. But it will be available. Victoria will put it out in case there were people that were not able to attend that had some wanted to hear the discussion. So is there anything else for the good of the cause today?
I didn't know if you, I came in right after you did a attendance. So this is Lisa Miles.
Oh, thank you, Lisa.
Uh-huh.
And I did as well, Christy Hayes.
Okay. I heard your voice, Christy.
Bill Davis and Heidi Miller from Fairbury are both here.
Oh, okay, great.
Sherry Spelby, Grand Island Public Schools, is also here.
And Pat Larson from Grand Island Public Schools.
Bev Okay. Thank you so much for in today, and again, we did record it, so if you did come in late and you want to hear the discussion, it will be available. Thank you again, and we'll see you at the data conference.
Thank you, Pam. Really appreciate all your work. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome.